Well, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to start tonight. I do appreciate y'all coming out tonight, being with us. Those of you who gathered with us online, we love you. I want you to keep in mind to pray for Michael. He is going to be on his way back to Kenya tomorrow. He has to sign some papers in order to keep things rolling with our two radio stations. He is also going to oversee them moving our broadcaster thing from one tower to another. And this is going to give us a greater distribution as far as our audience is concerned. We're going to be able to reach farther on this new tower than the one, and this is in Turkana. And so just be praying for him. He's going to be overseeing that, make sure it's done correctly, make sure that it's done as cheaply as possible, and gives us the coverage that we need. He also is, thank God for Walmart, amen, because they had a Black Friday special. And I happened to catch this. They have these projectors intended for home use that was a Black Friday special. And these things are intended to get people in the door and so on. So they probably lost a little money on it. It's called a loss leader. But anyway, they were $50. And I said, you know what? Let's get a few of those. We got three of them. He's going to take two to Kenya with him, and what's going to happen is we're going to be, instead of one village in Samburu on Sunday morning here, Sunday night there, watching our Sunday morning service, we're going to have two teams going to two different villages every Sunday to stream our services live over there in two different places. I remember the first projector that we ever bought here at Bethel Church, still have it, still works, it was $3,000 for this thing. And the one, like this one, you can't even compare it to that one. This one was only, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks, something like that, but it's wireless. So it's taking this, transferring it over there, full high definition. It'll take in whatever signal we send to it. And for these things now to be on sale for $50, it's just unbelievable. So, yeah, that was, man, I think that was probably back 2005, somewhere around in there when we bought that first one. And they've just gone straight down since then. So anyway, that's technology for you. And we're going to use it to the best we can. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's read. Let me get to the scripture here, then I'll go back on these pictures. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 is where we're going to start. I appreciate you being here. But anyway, pray for Michael. He's going to get on a plane tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. So pray for him. He loves plane rides. Yeah. Michael, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, I like these words. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, dear God, for the blessing of digging into your word and understanding some things, Father, that maybe we never saw before, learning some things that we never knew, or reminding ourselves of things that we once knew. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless Michael, and Lord, give him safe travels, bless his work. I pray, dear God, that you would make and continue to make our work in Kenya fruitful and a blessing. And Father, there's so much more there that we could do. And Father, we ask that you show us, Father, your will, what you'd have us to do, how you would have us to do it. And Lord, we just ask God that you bless his work, bring him back home safely. And Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless your word spoken to us tonight. Lord, open our minds and our hearts, Father, to things that happen in our lifetime, things that have already happened, and things that will happen. Lord, we know and we have the assurance that one of these days, every care and every trial that we've had are not going to matter anymore, because we are going to be filled with exceeding joy. And Father, I believe the words that are in this book, and I believe they're right. And Father, I also believe that we cannot even fathom nor understand the great joy that awaits us when your glory is revealed. Father, open our eyes to it. Bless your word tonight. Give us understanding. Give us help, Father. There may be somebody, Lord, listening to this. Maybe they're here. Maybe they're watching online. And Lord, they are going through fiery trial right now. I pray, Father, that you would give them understanding of what they're going through. Show them, Father, that it's only temporary. And you have a far more exceeding glory waiting for them on the other side. Father, we love you and we trust this book. We trust what it says, and that's why we're here. We ask you, Lord, to open our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now let me go back to, I put these, gathered these graphics together because there's something that's going to happen. I believe whenever the Lord appears in the air, there will already have been a trial by fire. There's fire coming to this earth. Now, you have a lot of so-called ministries, conferences, so-called evangelists that always talk about bringing the fire of God down on us. We need the fire of God. Send the fire. Here's Fire from Heaven Conference. This up here, join us for a night of fire with our youth band. Okay? Here's one with, look at this. Within you is a fire from heaven. Never underestimate the power of your soul. Now, this is from down here on the bottom. It says shabbat.org. Don't go there now. You're listening to the sermon, okay? But later on, what you'll find is that this is a Jewish Kabbalah website. And they teach that in every one of us is a little piece of God called a spark of divinity. And that if you go through the proper rituals or you get the proper understanding of all of this, then this spark will erupt into a full flame and you'll have the flaming God inside of you, burning. And I'm just going, I don't want that. Notice this, firestorm. What is that all about? God Culture Firestorm Conference 2017 Cinematic Worship Experience. You can tell what this is all about. Okay? Here is the other Bethel Church, the one in Redding, California, the anti-Bethel, the church that is everything that we are not. They actually have what's called a fire tunnel. They'll line people up on both sides and they will take people and make them pass through this fire tunnel. And as they go through this, of course, everybody lays hands on them, touches them, and supposedly some fire anointing is passed down to them. Now, this is the same church that sends people to cemeteries to lay hands on grave sites to try to get leftover blessings and anointings from dead people. That's called necromancy. It's forbidden in the scriptures. So it's the same thing. And it just, to me, the realization of what this actually is, in the Old Testament, God constantly poured out his wrath upon the people of Israel because they made their children to pass through the fire unto Molech. And what you have here is basically the same concept. They're causing people to pass through the fire. So what I want you to think about fire, and we're going to study fire from the scripture for a while, and I want you to think about what it does. There's actually two things that God gives fire for. Number one, every light source that we know about is a fire. A light bulb, a candle, a torch, a fire in the fireplace. It brings light to read by, to see things by in the darkness and so on. The sun is a great big ball of fire. Goodness gracious. So it's this big giant fire thing. So that fire in itself gives us illumination. It gives us light. But there's another aspect to fire that to me, that's what I think this fiery trial is all about. It is a consuming mechanism. It is how God sends his wrath. And I think that these people are spiritually blind, and they actually think that God sending fire down from heaven is going to be a good thing for them. And I'll get into the whys and wherefores here in a little bit. But essentially, what we need is more of God's word and not some big experience that they want everybody to have. I'll be honest with you. I'm not much on experiences or emotional type services where we try to bring some big emotion to everybody and they call that revival or they call that anointing or they call that the fire of God or whatever. I'm not big on that. I would much rather you be taking in the Bible, the Word of God, growing thereby and letting God fill you with his Word, and then maybe God will bring experiences along with that. But to me, the primary thing is the Word of God. Can I hear you say amen? Now, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and at the beginning of 1 Peter, I think this goes back to last year, 2017, maybe. I don't remember when we started this. I have to look at my notes. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I mentioned there that there was going to be a connection between this chapter and chapter 4, because to me, the whole thing about 1 Peter is a trial by fire. That's the theme that he's getting across in this whole book of 1 Peter. He's telling us that there is, number one, always going to be fiery trials. Who's been through those? You're going to go through them again. The good news is, with everyone you go through, you become more experienced. Pretend that you're all firemen. The first fire that you go to try to fight, you're scared to death. You don't know what to do. You're not sure what's going to happen. But every fire that you go to as a fireman, you become more experienced. You learn a little bit more about how fire works, how this happens, what happens here, what to avoid, what to be a part of, and experience fire. And sometimes you're going to get burned along the way and you're going to breathe in some smoke. But experienced firemen do not fear the next fire as much as the new young firemen do. Does that make sense to everybody? As we grow in the Lord and grow in faith, the trials that we experience, we become more experienced at dealing with them. And it's basically it's being seasoned, or it's being tempered. How do you temper glass? How do you temper steel? What's the process? It's fire. It's heat. Okay? But what happens is that heat and that rapid cool down, it changes the molecular structure of glass or iron or steel or whatever, and it makes it incredibly strong. It makes it so that you're not, listen to this, you're not easily broken. Okay? You're not easily broken. So turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 6. Let's tie these things together. Peter said, the fiery trial which is to try you. And back in chapter 1, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, there it is. And I'll just ask you to think this thought, think this question. How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? Is it possible for, and I don't know that you can maybe even honestly answer this, but is it possible that with somebody hearing my voice right now, that the devil knows a way to get you to stop believing what this book says? Does that happen? Does that happen? Yes. People, they say they believe, they act like they believe, they live like they believe for a while, but then something happens to them, and all of a sudden, they don't believe. We have Israel as our example for a lot of things. When Moses told Israel, God's given us a promised land, we're leaving, they followed Moses. When they got to a certain place where they sent the 12 spies in for 40 days, I talked about that today too. They sent the 12 spies in for 40 days. And those spies came back, 10 of them said, there's no way we can go in there. We're all going to get slaughtered. There's giants everywhere. There's no way we can go in there. Two of them said, God has already destroyed their defense. We're going to eat giants for breakfast, is what he said. They're going to be our bread for us. We're going to eat them. And he said, we can go in. Israel chose to believe the 10 spies who told them they couldn't go in, and essentially they stopped believing what God promised. And God said, Paul said in Hebrews, see now that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They believed for a while. They believed enough to leave Egypt. But they got to the entrance of the promised land and they gave up. They quit believing and they said, we need a captain because we're going back to Egypt. And God said, no, you're not. What I'm going to do is I'm going to march you around in a circle for 40 years until every one of you drop dead in the wilderness and none of you are going to see that promised land. You see, their faith was tried. And they were found lack in faith. They lost their faith. They quit believing what God said. And they perished in the wilderness as a result of it. It happens. I grew up with children in this church that no longer believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe anything. I went to a Christian school with guys my age that were my friends, that as soon as they got out of home and away from their home and the church they were going to as a young person, as soon as they got away from that, one of my best friends within 6 months was questioning the existence of God. He told me that on the phone. And I just went, I shook my head. I'm going. And Mike, he was taught all of his life out of a King James Bible. But he just stop believing. We used to have conversations about God and about the Bible when we were 14, 15, 16 years old. And then, 6 months into him going to a state college, took a philosophy course and he wasn't even sure if there was a God anymore. I was just stunned. It happens. It happens. But with every fiery trial that comes your way, see, there's a reason why you're going through things. There's a reason why you went through things. With every one of those, God is tempering you. He's hardening you. You ever seen them make Japanese swords? Does anybody know anything about making Japanese swords? They do what? Fold them. Why? They'll take the same bar of steel, and in some cases, some of these swords, they spend a year making one sword. They keep heating it and folding it, heating it and folding it, heating it and folding it, and beating it and beating it. And they do this over and over and over again until, I don't know the physics of it, but after all of that, they've got a sword that, number one, is going to stay sharp, and number two, you're not going to break it. And that's us, okay? And I've got the scripture to show it to you. But your faith is always going to be on trial. You say you believe now, but where are you going to be 10 years from now? The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And now think about what he said. Out of all the metals that are in the world, which one of them lasts the longest? Gold does. I've never seen rotten gold. I've never seen rusty gold. But apparently, there is no, and from what I hear, I may be wrong, but from what I hear, on this earth, there is no such thing as absolutely 100% pure gold. Somebody check me out on that, make sure I'm telling the truth. Okay? But apparently, even gold, after a while, perishes. Especially in this world. Okay? Or maybe I can put it this way. At least the gold in your pocket can perish easily. Does that make more sense? Okay. Though it be tried with fire. So when the going gets rough, you know, everybody's making plans about doomsday. Some bad thing's going to happen. People are building bunkers. People are storing up food. And they've got stuff ready for some bad event that's going to happen. The zombie apocalypse or whatever. And look at your Bible. Which is better to have on that day? A handful of gold or your faith? That though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing. When does this fiery trial happen? He said it at the appearing of the Lord of Jesus Christ. If we go back to 1 Peter 4, look at verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Right here, it's saying virtually in a different way, but it's saying the same thing, that a fiery trial is going to take place before the Lord appears in the air. Before, not after. It's going to take place before. All right, let's just make sure he went down the right hallway. All right. It's going to take place before the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ in the air. Now, I don't have a time frame for this. This may not fit in somebody's chart, but this is what I believe is going to happen. So, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, though it be tried with fire, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'm not done in this world. I haven't given up yet. I haven't stopped. I don't like some of the days that I have been through and some of the days that I've had to endure. I don't like some of those. But I'm still here. But by the grace of God. And I still believe what God said. And even that faith has been shaken a time or two. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at how fire, he mentions the fiery trial in chapter 4, 1 Peter. He mentions the trial of your faith being tried by fire. So let's try to bring this into the perspective or the context of other passages of Scripture. Let's try to get some understanding at things that the Bible says. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize. This is John. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I want you to take your Bible. I'm going to keep that up on the screen. And I want you to look in Acts chapter 1. Turn there, Acts chapter 1. So, we know John said two things were going to happen. Jesus is going to, number one, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The second thing he said was going to happen was, Jesus is going to baptize you with fire. Now, let me add this to it. John clearly said that he only baptizes with water under repentance. John cannot baptize anybody with the Holy Ghost and with fire. From that, I believe that no man, no church, no person can give you a Holy Ghost baptism or a fire baptism. I don't believe man can bring that. I don't believe man can do that. I don't care what kind of conference we have. I don't care how loud we pray or what sort of music we play or how our service is geared toward trying to bring emotions out of people. A man or a church cannot give you the Holy Ghost. Jesus does that. Let me hear from you, in your opinion, your words. You can bring scripture in if you want. What do you think the baptism of the Holy Ghost is? What does he mean, baptized with the Holy Ghost? What is that? Huh? Being born again. Who agrees with that? I do. I was pastoring this little church out here in Richwoods, and I was also painting houses at the time, and one of the contractors we worked for, he's a good guy, not his enemy, but he attended a Pentecostal church, and he knew I was pastoring a little church, and he asked me one Sunday, he said, how's your church doing? I said, pretty good. We had revival and had about three or four saved. I don't remember the number. He said, oh, well, how many were baptized with the Holy Ghost? Because according to their doctrine, being saved is being baptized with the Holy Ghost is everything, and it's after you're saved. It's a second event that happens. You can be saved, but according to them, you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost yet, which I don't believe. I don't think the Scripture says that. Because when you're saved, you are given the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, in you. If you are saved, you're born again, you are filled with the Spirit at that point. Not sometime, not in some ritual, not some guy laying hands on you, or whatever, or some tongues event that takes place. It's not this big secondary thing. If you're saved, you're baptized and washed clean in your soul. If that hasn't happened, you're not saved. You're not born again. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Anybody else got anything else to add to that? What you think being baptized with the Holy Ghost, what do you think it does for you? Right. Amen. Internal. That's it. And water can't do that. My hands can't do that. Us shouting at you in a church service can't do that. Us having a pep rally cannot do that. The flesh stays out of it. You're cleansed by the Holy Ghost. How did Paul say that Jesus washes the church? With the water of, by the Word of God. The Holy Ghost and the Bible, they always go together. And so, from what I can see, you are purified, sanctified in your soul by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God. They're not separate from each other. They all act together because Jesus is the Word of God, and He purifies you with the clean water of the Word of God. That's baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, here's the million-dollar question. What does it mean then to be baptized with fire? Caleb. Death? It might turn out to be that way. John? Purging. Courtney? Strengthening. That's good. Okay. Let's look at something. Up here on the screen, John promised that Jesus is going to do two things. Number one, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Number two, and with fire. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, because we know in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. Okay? That happened. That event took place, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but, and this is Jesus' words because they're in red, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. Now hold that thought right there and look up on the screen. I indeed baptize you with water. They're connected right here. This is Jesus talking, for John truly baptized you with water. Verse 5 again, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. If you keep reading, you can, but there's no fire. No mention of a baptism of fire here. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, which is part of what John said Jesus would do. Now, Hargard, what are you getting at? I think the fire baptism has yet to occur. Okay? And I'll show you why I believe that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and with fire. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. Boy, I like this. Baptism in the Word of God. The Word of God. I'll read it. Isaiah 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. His lips and his tongue. Now, if you're some of these people, that lips and the tongue is going, blah, 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 which is nothing. But they say that's speaking in tongues. I don't think so. That's what a baby does. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. The words. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So remember, to those who believe the word, you believe the word because God has baptized you and cleansed you with the word, and God has put a spirit of belief in you. You believe this Bible. God leads you to believe this Bible. God wants you to believe this Bible. God causes you to believe this Bible. Faith is a gift of the Spirit, is it not? Okay, so to us, the word being fire, number one, there is a purging part to this, a tempering part to this, But by and large, the word being a fire to us is illumination. Gives us light. How do we know the things that we know? We know them by way of the word of God. Roy, hey Roy, you back there? He'll jump up in a minute. Or two. We were talking before church. He was sharing with me what he told you about how he saw something in the Word the other day, and he said it just sent little things up and down his back. Okay? I like those times. What happened was God gave that man illumination. And we all know Roy. I mean, we love him. But he's not a PhD, he's not a doctor, he's not a lawyer, he's not a politician, he's not a rocket scientist, not a brain surgeon. He was a guy that was in the army and then a guy that worked in loading docks. But God gave that man knowledge and wisdom that is superior to what most people in this world know. And that's all it takes. Amen? So, to me, this baptism with fire has to do with the Word of God. Acts chapter 7. Look at this. This is Stephen telling the Jews off. I love it. He's telling them off, okay? Acts chapter 7, verse 30. When 40 years were expired, there, and I'm going to cover this in the next Watchman broadcast. How many places in the Bible deal with the number 40? 40 days, it rained. 40 days, Jesus in the wilderness. 40 days, the spies were there. Yeah, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Goliath spent 40 days mocking God until David showed up. Okay? We overlooked that, but that 40 days is there. And the life of Moses is clearly divided into three sections of 40 years apiece. The first 40 years, he's an Egyptian prince. And at that time, he sees someone being harassed by these Egyptians, so he goes and kills them. And he thinks the Jews are going to love him for it, for standing up for them, but they hate him, so they run him off. So he's 40 years in the wilderness. Then he sees the burning bush, so he goes and sets God's people free. Then he's 40 years again leading God's people, and then he dies, 120 years. But this particular 40 years, he was in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to it, behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. So notice the connection here. You have the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, in a flame of fire, and what Moses experiences from this is the Word of God. He gets the Word of God from the flame of fire, the illumination, the light, because that bush is on fire, but what's not happening to that bush? Same thing that's happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the fire, and they were consumed not, just like the bush. So to those, here's what I see. To those who are born again, those whom God's Word dwells in them richly, the fire comes and it does not consume us. We're not consumed. What it does is it illuminates us, gives us light. Okay? Acts chapter 2. Look at here. Acts chapter 2. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, because the word wind and air and spirit, the Greek word pneuma, they all mean air, breath, blowing, spirit, things like that. It's where we get the word pneumatic tools or pneumonia. It has to do with the air, the lungs. The mighty wind, this is the Spirit of God, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Fire. Not consuming them, not burning them up. I talked about this here a while back in a Watchman broadcast, and I showed video clips of some of these Pentecostal fire evangelists bringing a fire spirit to people, and they are screaming in pain because they are feeling like they are literally on fire, and they're screaming in agony, and they're going, oh, this is great, this is the Holy Ghost, and I'm going, no, it's not. That is a devil spirit. Let me ask you this, because this goes along with it. What are angels made of? Fire. We're going to read that. In fact, you can look it up if you want. Angels are made of flaming fire. The Bible says so. So now ponder this. Think about this, all right? But anyway, so there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak, look at this, with other tongues, not blah, 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 blah. Don't laugh at me, JR. I do that better than anybody here. But they spake words that were understood by people. They were speaking the words of God in languages that people understood. Till this Bible, by the way, I like this. Here's where it's cloven. What does that say? New Testament. Here's the Old Testament. Here's the New Testament. It's already cloven. It's rightly divided. This is God speaketh once. This is God speaketh twice. This is Christ's first coming, his second coming. This is Moses coming down from Mount Sinai the first time. Moses coming down the second time. Okay? And by the way, when Moses came down the second time, what is his appearance? His face is shining like, okay, fire, light, all right? So anyway, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in verse 11, the Cretes and the Arabians, there's other people mentioned, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So, fire baptism, I believe, to us, it is illumination. It is filling us with light. It is making us a candle, a light to the world. Raise your hand if somebody has ever come to you wanting your opinion about something in the Bible or something religious. Okay? Why did they come to you? Huh? Yeah, he don't shut up. Okay? But why did they come to you? Because you're a light. You're a candle. And you don't hide it under a bushel. No! You let it shine. Okay? That's the Word of God in you, being that fire, being that light. But there's a whole other group of people. Psalm 29:7, I'm almost done. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. Look at that. You have the cloven tongues of fire here, and you have the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Okay, by the way, the phrase voice of the Lord is 50 times in the Bible exactly, and it was Pentecost, which means 50 days. Anyway, so your homework, if you want to do it, is to study fire in the Bible. Find that place where it says that angels are made of fire. Because it's in there, okay? And I'll ask you to tell me where it's at next week, in case I forget it. You already have it, Michael?
No, I missed where you said with fire yet to occur.
I think clearly from 1 Peter that there is a fiery trial coming. Okay, a time before the translation, okay? Because in both places, in chapter 1 and in chapter 4, he puts it at the appearing of Jesus Christ, at the, you know, the appearing of his glory. So I think before that happens, a fiery trial. So, I mean, I could ask the whole world, who's a Christian? Who's saved? Who's born again? Who's going to heaven? and get a lot of people say, I am, I am, I am, I am. But some of them are lying. And some of them, the seeds of doubt have already been sown. And all it takes is an internet connection to really drive it home. Because that's 9 times out of 10 in our day, that's how it happens. Okay? I think the cults and all the people that figured this out, that they can reach a whole lot more people on the internet than they can knocking doors. Because then they get right in the home, very subtly with people. We're going to have prayer time. I watched a guy today and I shook my head. Some kind of crazy cult guy, I don't know. He was real soft-spoken, real seemed like a real nice old man. But you know what he said? He said, since Jesus said, I'm not come to bring fire, but peace or love or something like that, he said that Jesus was rebuking Elijah for calling the fire of God down upon the soldiers in 2 Kings chapter 1. That Jesus was actually rebuking Elijah for doing that. Elijah got in trouble by Jesus because God doesn't send fire to people as his anger. And I'm going, I wrote a comment. There's only 2 comments on that video, and one of them's mine. And I said, you're a liar and an idiot. We'll see what kind of response that gets. But the internet's full of stuff. Anyway, who can we pray for tonight?